I'll ask you if you will, and you're able to, in reverence to God's Word, stand, let's read these verses together, just three verses for the reading this morning. The Bible said in verse number 9 of chapter 46 of the book of Isaiah, "Remember this, and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me." Look at verse 10. "Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." The phrase that jumped out at me in the book of Exodus is found again in chapter 46 and verse number 10. The phrase is "not yet." N-O-T-Y-E-T. Not yet. He said, "The things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand." I want to try to bring a message this morning that God's put in my heart, and I would title the message this, "Not yet, yet." Not yet, yet. I think you'll understand after a while. You can be seated. Pray for me, please. I do desire your prayers. I promise you that the imps of hell will fight me this morning. Father, I pray this morning that you'll help us to glean truth from the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand the things, God, that you have said will take place, though they may not have yet taken place, they will. And I pray, Lord, that this morning that you would help us, Lord, to be clear and concise and to share with these precious people, God, what you've shared with me. And God, we will give you glory. We pray, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts to save people. Speak to the hearts of the unsaved, we pray. And help us all to be able to leave here saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to, first of all, just give you a few examples in the Scripture. And I'm going to try to not say a lot about these. I don't want to really get started preaching in these. But some things where God said not yet, but then they came to pass. The Bible said, declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand. A lot of people see, because something that's not yet happened, they think it's never going to happen. The Bible talks about the coming of the Lord. I believe it was in the book of Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, that said they would mock, they would say, where is the promise of his coming? And they're doing that because it's not yet happened. Hebrews 12 and verse number 4, it said, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. I believe and am convinced in my heart now after finding out that Paul signed all of his epistles, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. I believe that Paul is the writer to the book of Hebrews. And he says to the children of Israel, the Hebrew people, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Yet if you go back in history, I'll share just a little bit with you today. We know that because it had not yet happened, eventually it did happen. We need to be reminded of this. We're no better than the early church. I've said for years, God's people are not going through the great tribulation. I believe that with all of my heart. But I'm telling you, we may go through a time of great persecution. We have never, beloved, in our life, gone through these things. The early church, some of them were cooked to death because they would not deny Jesus. They were just strung out over an open fire and burned and cooked to death. Some of them were dragged to death. Some of them were skinned alive. Some of them were eaten by dogs. Some of them were starved to death. Others were boiled to death. Some were ground to death at a meal where you have two huge stones, one vertical and one horizontal. So they just crushed them, put them between the stones and crushed them. Some were broken on a wheel, and some, their guts were eaten out by pigs. My point is this. Paul writes, "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And yet we know that in the early church, many were persecuted. And really, down through the years, many have been persecuted because of their faith in the Lord Jesus. Later, people would be burned at the stake. They would be boiled in oil. We know that history tells us, I believe Josephus, that Peter did not believe he was worthy to die like Jesus. So he wanted to be crucified upside down. We also know, and I just share this one with you to give you the severity of it, something called the Spanish Inquisition or the auto de fe, meaning act of faith. I'll read this and we'll go on in the message. By the 13th century, everybody expected the Spanish Inquisition. The church formed inquisitions in every country in Western Europe, but the Spanish was the most brutal and feared. Anyone found guilty even of reading the Bible in his or her own language was tried, usually convicted, and often executed. The ceremony of execution and torture was called the auto de fe, or the act of faith. The Inquisition was required not to spill blood in performing tortures, but this requirement was usually ignored. The most common method called for the victim to be stripped to his underwear and laid face up on an elevated platform. Thin cords were passed through holes and wrapped around the limbs, then drawn so tightly that they cut through the victim's flesh to the bones. If no confession was made, the process was repeated up to four times. If this elicited no confession, the next stage involved folding the arms backward behind the victim with the palms outward, and then both arms were tied to a winch that ratcheted them closer and closer until the back of the hands touched. This ripped both shoulders out of the sockets with such pressure that blood spewed out from the mouth. A surgeon would then set the joints, and the victim was given 2 months in prison to recover. 2 months later, the last torture involved a heavy chain lashed around the body, both ends attached to a winch. The arms were pinned straight at the sides of the chain, was passed through the wrists. Then it was tightened like a tourniquet until the shoulders and the wrists were dislocated. The joints were then reset, and the torture immediately inflicted a second time. If the victim still did not confess, he was sent to be burned at the stake. If he did, he was placed in prison for another month or two and then released, a cripple. My point in that is just this. When Paul wrote, "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin," it didn't mean they would never resist unto blood, striving against sin. I think you'll understand more later. In John chapter 7, "But this Jesus is speaking, spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given." But aren't you glad, thank God, we can say on this side, he has been given. He's the one that dealt with our heart. He's the one that birthed us into the family of God. He's the one that's our paraclete that comes alongside to help. And yet there was a time when the Holy Ghost was not yet given. And then Jesus said here, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. But we believe with all of our heart this morning that now he has been glorified. In John chapter 20, Jesus said unto her, he's talking about Mary, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto my Father." I'm trying to give you biblical examples where "not yet" was said, and yet it happened just like the Scripture says. Amen? A lot of people believe because things have not yet took place that they will never take place. But I promise you, that's a lie out of hell. If God's counsel and God's word said it will take place, then, beloved, you can mark it down. It will happen in God's time. In John chapter 14, in verse number 19, Jesus said, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, ye shall live also." If you will turn with me in your Bibles, I've given you an example after example how that God said, "Not yet," and yet it happened just like God said. Go back to Exodus, and I'll show you where this message was birthed in my heart and in my mind. Exodus, I'll get there in a moment, and I'll see what chapter we're in. I believe it might be Exodus chapter number 9. Look at Exodus chapter number 9 with me for just a moment. In Exodus chapter number 9, let me lay just a little bit of groundwork. God had already turned the water to blood. God had already brought about the plague of the frogs and the lice and the flies. God had already brought about the death of the cattle and the pestilence and the hail. And between these two judgments of the hail and the locust is the passage that I'm reading to you this morning. The Bible said in chapter number 9 and verse 29, "And Moses said unto him, As soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's." Moses told Pharaoh this, "But as for thee and thy servants, I know," watch this, "that ye will not yet fear the Lord." They've already seen the water turn to blood, the frogs, the lice, the flies, the cattle, the pestilence, and the hail. But God said to Pharaoh through Moses, "I know that you will not yet fear the Lord." And yet, there's a yet to go with that "not yet." I'll show it to you in a little bit. Beloved, I want you to know something this morning. You could be sitting in a service like this and not yet fear the Lord. But I'll promise you, there's a day coming when every man, every woman, every boy, every girl will fear the God of heaven. I'll show you what I mean in just a moment. I want you to think about something. Think about Genesis 15:16 said this, "But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." I'm sure that there are godly men and godly women in the United States of America that look at our country and look at what's going on and wonder, how in the world have we escaped the judgment of an almighty God? Amen. Remember these words. Not yet. Our day's coming. Yeah. I wrote these things down. America has turned to drunkenness, to drugs, to gambling, to sodomy, to whoremongering, to politics and power. But we've lost our power with God. We've lost our way. And to be honest with you, beloved, most in this country think we're getting by with it. And we're getting by just fine. Remember these words. Not yet. He said of the Amorites, their iniquity was not yet full. Mark this down. God's got our number. Mark this down and make it personal. Look in the mirror. God's got my number. God knows where you are. God knows how you stand with God. You say, well, Pastor, I'm just getting by just fine. You better remember these two words. Not yet. Beloved, listen. I believe with all of my heart, God is trying to help us. You say, Pastor, what's that got to do with us? Let me help you. Remember this. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. You know what was going on? They were marrying. They were given in marriage. They were eating and they were drinking. You want to know why? Because judgment was being preached, but judgment was not yet. But yet was coming. Noah knew that. Noah's family believed in Noah's God, and they knew that. And they got on the boat. First, they had to build the boat. They had to make preparation for the judgment that was coming. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, you go on in the text with Pharaoh, the next judgment was locusts. The next judgment was darkness. And the next judgment was the death of the firstborn. And we understand that then Pharaoh let God's people go. But I want to say this. He did not yet fear the Lord. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Because, beloved, listen, some little temporary decision doesn't mean that anything's changed in a person's heart. I'm telling you, it weren't gone long, and Pharaoh said, let's go get them. Because he did not yet fear the Lord. You say, Pastor, I don't know if yet ever came. I beg to differ with you. Read your Bible. God sends them out there and he puts that cloud, that pillar of fire. God separates the children of Israel from the Egyptians. And God tells Moses to hold his rod out over the sea. And God brought an east wind, the word of God said, stood the water up there, and stood the water up there, and blowed through the midst and dried the ground up. And the children of Israel crossed on dry ground. You say, Pastor, what did the Egyptians do? I'll tell you, read your Bible. They had their horses, they had their chariots, and they pursued after them. They did not yet fear the Lord. But out there in the middle of the sea, something happened. The wheels started falling off of their chariots. You can say whatever you want to, but it was yet time. Say amen. Beloved, they understood. Listen, there's something going on here. These wheels have stayed on here for years. I greased these wheels before I left yesterday. There's something going on here. Not just my wheels falling off, but his wheels falling off, and his wheels falling off. And they realized that God was on the side of the Egyptians. and they feared God. You say, Pastor, what is the point? They feared God too late. Too late! And the Word of God, you read it. God let the children of Israel cross. The Word of God tells us God let the sea come back in. And beloved, drowned the horses, drowned Pharaoh's army. And you've got a bunch of liberals in these colleges saying it's a swamp. God help us. Say amen to believe the Word of God. The Word of God tells, He drowned them. And beloved, listen, Moses had told them and told them and told them, but they did not yet fear the Lord. I don't know about you, but I believe if I'd been through the blood turning to water, if I'd been through the frogs, I'd been through the lice, and I'd been through the flies, and I'd been through the cattle dying and the pestilence. I'd been through, beloved, all of that, and the locusts and the darkness and the death of the firstborn. I believe I might change my mind. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. God put this in my heart. I believe some people are never going to change their mind till it's too late. Till it's too late. Brother Grizzle, I would that America would change her mind. I would that America would look up like she once did to the God of heaven. Say, we need help. We're so big and we're so bad. And we're so proud. I believe we're living in the days of not yet. But yet's coming. Mark it down. Yet's coming. God is not going to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. He's not going to do it. And beloved, we have spit as a country in the face of an almighty God. In our day, as a country is coming. I want to say this morning. I believe it's important. The Bible said, but as for thee and thy servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord. I want to hope, I want to pray that everyone under the sound of my voice will not wait till it's too late to fear the Lord. I want to make a statement this morning. Share something with you. Nicodemus, in the Word of God, was a very, very religious man. I don't believe Nicodemus went to church once a week, so to speak. I believe whenever there was something going on, he was a ruler of the Jews. I believe he was there. I believe he was serious about his study. I believe he was serious about his religion. And yet Jesus told Nicodemus that you must be born again. I'm going back and painting you a little bit of a picture of the day that I was saved. By the grace of God, then I'll make a statement. That morning I rose early. You may think I'm boasting. I'm really not interested in what you think. I'm not boasting. I'm just trying to describe that day in my life. I rose early that day. And I had two children. And I took them with me to the radio station. And did a live radio broadcast in Abingdon, Virginia. We left there and we came back. I'd always get the children breakfast at Burger King. I remember one morning was coming up the road, Brother Gary, and I said, "Youngins, we need to pray." And I bowed my head like I was praying, Brother Don, but I was looking at the road. They scared the youngins to death. They thought Daddy's done lost it. Amen. We come back, I dropped the youngins off with Miss Eve, and I got on a 15-passenger van. Later, it was a school bus. And I went and picked up some youngins. I got to church at 10 o'clock that morning. And taught the adult men's Sunday school class. We had a men's class, Brother Don, and a ladies' class. At 11 o'clock, I was responsible to teach the children's church. And then after church, Brother David, I got on the van and took the youngins home. Sometimes I'd have time for a sandwich and sometimes not, but I had another broadcast at 2:30 in another town in Saltville, Virginia. And that night, I'm being honest with you, our children had developed an illness and they weren't feeling well, so Miss Eve was going to stay home with them. And that night, I was laying in the bed at 6 o'clock. I had a pretty good nap. And my wife came in and she said, "Honey, are you going to church?" And I looked at her and I said, "I don't believe I am, Eve." I said, "I'm exhausted, honey. I'm wore out." Brother Don, I wasn't playing games with God. I wasn't drinking during the week and cussing like a sailor. I was trying my best to do what was right and to live right. I saw a responsibility when my first baby was born that I'd never seen before in my life. The thought came over me, I got to find me a handkerchief. The thought came over me as I was laying in bed. You never talk to yourself, I know, but I've done that. They say if you don't answer yourself, you're okay. But anyway, Brother Doyle, the thought came over me, "You sorry thing." I was talking to me. I wasn't talking to Brother Doyle. "You preach that you're supposed to be faithful, and you're going to lay here in bed. You're going to lay here in bed while God's people are meeting down at the church house, while the man of God's preaching." My pastor was Brother Bud Wishon. And just, I don't know how to describe it, but I just got up and took me a shower. I got dressed and went on to church. And I sat on the front bench, Landmark Baptist Church. There's not a person in that church that didn't think I was saved. I had never given anybody any reason not to believe that I was saved or that I wasn't saved. But in my heart, God had dealt with me many times in those 7 years. But time after time, Brother Michael, there was a not yet. Not yet. Not yet. That night, the pastor preached. What little bit I got out of the message was in a Sunday night message encouraging God's people. I thought about this morning early. I woke about 5:30. What if I'd have stayed in bed? I don't know. What if the flesh would have won? I just called preacher and said, back then we didn't have cell phones, you couldn't text, I'd have had to call the church and say, "Pastor, I'm wore out, I'm going to stay home tonight." Boy, I tell you, the thought crossed my mind. To make a long story short, the Spirit of the Holy God dealt with me that night. Even through the service, a wrestling was going on back and forth. The devil would whisper things to me like, "They'll laugh at you. They'll throw you out of this church." I could still hear the voice of my Lord saying, "I love you. You better not worry about what they think. You better worry about what you and I know. You must be born again. I used Nicodemus a while ago because Nicodemus was a very religious man. And beloved, I'll tell you today, I thank God that there was a time in my life when not yet turned into yet. I had not yet experienced the judgment of God. I had experienced conviction and said, not yet. And yet that night, God saved me by His marvelous grace. I made a statement last Sunday night, I believe, after Brother Steve preached it. I believe when I made the first step, it was over. The rest was just a formality. I was coming to Jesus. For the first time in my life, I was going to admit publicly, I am what God said I was, a sinner. And I need what God said I needed, a Savior. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, when the wheels started falling off the chariots, people started changing their mind. God said every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand, and I will do my pleasure. I give you something to think about. In the scripture, this is what God said. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. Matthew 24, I believe that's speaking of the tribulation hour. In Psalm 37:10, the Bible said, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Then the Bible said this. Hebrews, I believe, chapter 10. We've been talking about not yet. The Bible said this. Yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there you may be also. I told you what happened in my life that day. And I'm going to make this statement. If you get mad at me, you can just get in line. But after what God showed us about Pharaoh. Brother Don, if I wasn't saved, you couldn't pay me to miss the service. Knowing that that might be the service that God turned not yet into yet. I almost missed it, and I wasn't even going to be paid to miss it. I was just going to let my old flesh have its way. Beloved, I want to tell you today, He's coming. You say, Pastor, I've been hearing that all my life. Steve sent me a picture the other day. It was a picture of Young at Heart. Sister Joyce, where you at? Right there you are. 2016. John was in that picture. Brother Dan was in that picture. Sister Barbara was in that picture. Boy, I wish I could remember all of them. I'd have to get it out and look at it. There were 6 or 7 people in 2016 that was in that picture that are with Jesus today. That's 8 years. And there are others in that picture because their health is so broken, they'll never be able to make their way back to the house of God. We better not take each day that God gives us for granted. We know that He's coming. And we also know, Brother Mike, we're leaving. One of these days, we're leaving. We're leaving here. Amen. Don't go through life with that attitude. Not yet. Don't wait on the wheels to fall off before you call on God. Before you admit what you need to admit. Before you ask God what you need to ask God for. Before you trust Him as your Savior. Father, I thank You this morning for Your word. Your counsel shall always stand. I pray this morning, our Father, that these words found a lodging place in our hearts and in our lives. Maybe somebody come through the door this morning in that stage, that phase. Not yet. God, what a blessing it would be. What a blessing, Lord, it would be. See someone experience the grace of God to know that they're saved by the grace of God, to know they have a home in heaven. They have a purpose in life. Help us, we do pray. In Jesus' name.